Today's edition of the Roma Press Podcast, as always, is brought to you by EuroFantasyLeague.com. The football season is in full swing, and regardless of which league you prefer or which league you play, or if you want to play multi-league games, Euro Fantasy League is the absolute best. Make sure you check them out. Make sure you support them because they support this podcast, EuroFantasyLeague.com.
Welcome to the Roma Press Podcast with John Solano.
Hello again, welcome back. Another edition of the Roma Press Podcast. I'm John Solano. Joined alongside me is my co-host Andy Mattioli. Following Roma's 3-3 draw at the Stadio Olimpico against Atalanta, a lot to get to, so let's just jump right into it. Andy, your first thoughts.
It was very messy and might be one of, or perhaps the ugliest game I have seen under Di Francesco as a coach of Roma. Just terrible. Definitely one of the worst displays of Roma in the past couple of years. Might be my number one. That whole first half is something you do not want to see your team play on a Monday evening. Just terrible stuff, terrible.
That first half was abominable. Nobody put a foot right. Manolas, Fazio, Pellegrini, Cristante were especially horrific. I don't know about you. I would like to hear your opinion. Are we sure Lorenzo Pellegrini is not just complete shit, frankly? I mean, he's young. I understand you have to give him time. He had a terrible season last season. He was terrible again.
Well, aside from the first half of the season, come on. Aside from the first half of the season, I remember people were actually saying, why are we starting Strootman if Pellegrini is in a better shape in the first half of the season? Then he got worse, and today he was also one of the worst players on the pitch. You know, frankly, I don't know. It's difficult to say because he never seemed to find the comfort zone in this squad, and he never seemed to be a player Di Francesco trusted in the first place. So that's a bit tricky. Today he didn't do anything right, and recently he's been garbage. True. I don't know. I would still give him some time, but yeah, I mean, he doesn't have anything particular that stands out. It's everything is so of average, and just it costs the team points and effort, and he just doesn't seem like a good player.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I can't think of many good matches that he's had. I mean, I can think of more poor ones than good, which really is a problem. So let's go through and give our match ratings. We'll start at the back. Let's start with Olsen. And I'm going to start for his rating with that third goal. I think he's got to save that. I would give him a 5.5 just because he did better again in the second half.
Definitely. A 5.5 for me as well, mostly because the entire back line was just in shambles. And nobody performed back there, so I don't blame him too much on his performance tonight. I think he was fine until that third goal came in. Afterwards, he was also fine. He had a really good stop on a ball that was then claimed to be offside. Yes. Later on in the second half, that was a really good save. He reacted very well, but overall, he was average, and quite frankly, he was probably the best one in the defense. So that's saying quite a lot about tonight's performance.
It does. Florenzi now, I would give him, obviously, he scored an important goal. That was another one that probably should have been saved. He wasn't bad in the first half. He wasn't great.
I thought
he was much better than Kolarov, Fazio, or Manolas. So maybe a 6, 5.5. I'll go 6.
Yeah, I say 6 because of the goal. In the first half, he went missing quite a lot. And first of all, let's hope that he's all right because he knocked himself in the left knee, which was the one he got. Yeah, he got surgery on. So, but otherwise, I think he was one of the few that gave up, that didn't give up. So one of the few that actually was in the match in the second half from the starting 11, one of the few who kept running and pressing. 6, definitely.
Okay, now Fazio and Manolas. I don't even, yes, Manolas scored. They were both so poor in the first half, even with Manolas's goal. I don't know how anybody could give him more than a 4.5 or a 5 just of how
to me look this was
Zapata annihilated him.
Yeah, this was to me one of the worst defensive displays since the Porto game in the UCL games with Spalletti, where we just completely got destroyed by Porto. Similarly here, our two defenders did not track. Manolas got manhandled by Zapata, as per usual. Zapata is one of those strikers that always has to get at Roma. He always scores against us. And Fazio was... I don't even know what he was doing on that second goal. Why didn't he slide for the ball? The ball, he just let the ball pass across his feet. To me, you have a defender that does that, you put him on the bench. That's it. Because it wasn't even, a mistake. They just didn't care. Fazio looked like he couldn't be bothered to play tonight. I don't know if you can do that again against Milan on Friday, because Milan is going to be wanting to make up for that loss. So, yeah, definitely a 4 for Fazio and a 4.5 for Manolas because of the goal.
Yeah, I agree. Kolarov, I mean, he didn't do anything spectacular. He wasn't particularly bad. He had a drop back into central defense when the changes were made by Di Francesco. I mean, again, he wasn't bad. He wasn't great. His first half wasn't that outstanding. He had some mistakes as well. I would give him a 5.5 as well.
Well, the problem is that Kolarov does not defend. So when you have a defense, a two-man defense like today that just can't catch a break, with Atalanta constantly pressing and pushing forward, and you have Kolarov who just gets run past by some youngsters, and he doesn't bother even to track back, it puts the whole team on the back heel. For me, it's a 5.5. He was just not the Kolarov we know. He didn't push forward. He didn't put any good crossing. And then second half, I don't know. It wasn't his game.
Pellegrini, Cristante. We can just go through this whole list and you compare, people who had poor matches together and give them the same rating. I mean, both of them for me, 5.
Yeah, I mean, I think the mistake is that we constantly think that, Atalanta is, a mid-table team or a team like today that was playing their second squad because the first one was tired after the Europa League game. But Atalanta is so well coached. They have everything going for them right now. They're well oiled. Everybody knows their place in the squad. Everybody knows what the coach wants. They constantly run. They constantly press. They were just so much into the game compared to Roma. So I don't actually blame so much Cristante and Pellegrini. I blame more Di Francesco for just not getting the team right, for this game. He simply got out coached, and obviously the players got outrun. I think Cristante wasn't even that bad. He just wasn't to be found, and Pellegrini was horrific because he, you know, you need always some connection between the defense and the midfield, and today the defense was terrible, so the midfield was obviously terrible as well. So yeah, a five for Pellegrini, five for Cristante.
De Rossi, in my opinion, probably could have been the man of the match. He was sensational, in my opinion. I would give him a 6.5 or a 7. That first half, he alone stopped at least one goal, maybe perhaps two. The tackles that he had to make up for the errors of Manolas and Fazio were crucial.
Yeah.
It's a problem when the 35-year-old is the best one in the midfield.
That's true. And also, if you notice those slide tackles, that goal-clearing slide tackles that basically saved Roma in that first half, they would have lost by like 4-1, 5-1 in the first half. You notice that De Rossi is running faster than Fazio and Manolas. He's actually tracking back much faster than the two of them. He's 35. He jumps, he gets on that ball. You could see the relief on Olsen's face because he actually noticed that, you know, you got a 35-year-old doing the job of two younger defenders. 6.5. I mean, for me, if it wasn't for the substitutions in the second half, he would be the man of the match.
Yeah, I agree. As for the attack, Under, he had the assist on Pastore's goal, or what? I believe he did, right? Or was it?
It was so, Under. It was no, okay. It was Under. Yeah.
So, I didn't think he was bad. He wasn't great. He had the assist, obviously. I would give him a 6, 6.5. I thought he had a couple of good opportunities that he created something out of nothing in the second half. I thought he did pretty well. I'd give him a 6.
He also had those. He also was one of the few to actually put the ball into the 6-yard box and actually test Gollini. So he made some nice shots, and as you said, he made something out of nothing, which he does. And probably one of the last ones to give up. And he stayed the whole 90 minutes. I actually liked him, and if it wasn't for the midfield that just didn't supply him with enough interesting situations and goal scoring chances, I think he would have scored tonight. I think it's a 6, 6.5 definitely.
Dzeko probably should have had a goal on that volley that sailed over the bar. He also had a free header that went straight at the goalkeeper. Really should have put one of those two in the back. Although his hold-up play today was good, I'll give him, again, a 6. I didn't think he should have had a goal, but, again, his hold-up play was good.
I think that, it's one of those games where Dzeko just isn't there. And, sometimes it happens. Today, he missed a very Dzeko-like opportunity. It's always like that. If he can't score, he always pays back with some great ball handling situations. So I liked how sometimes he would, go on the flank and, for example, keep the ball there and let Pastore drop into the 6-yard box. So it's always helpful to have someone like him, even on an off day, to try and do that. But yeah, definitely a 6, 5.56.
And then Pastore, really for him, it was sort of a tale of two halves. Obviously, in the first half, he had the goal, but he really had a massive drop off after that, as did the entire side. But wow, did he look completely different when Nzonzi came in and he was able to have a bit more freedom to forward.
Yeah. Totally different play. I mean, he did play for PSG sometimes as a substitute on the wing. But usually it was, one of those game in the UCL. I think I got him sometimes playing on the wing, but it was usually in situations where PSG needed a goal and they just needed one more attacker. But yeah, I mean, why would you put him on that left wing if you have so many other natural options? And I mean, the whole second half, he was brilliant, That's why I said I couldn't give De Rossi the man of the match, because I think the second half had some individuals like Pastore and Zonzi that did so much in so little time. Really, in the second half, as a trequartista, you could see him actually enjoying the position he was playing in. And it was a totally different player, creating really nice chances, just adding some speed to the attack. And he was so threatening, even with the ball at his feet. I think it was 6.5 for me.
Now, you mentioned it, I mentioned it. Let's get to Nzonzi. I thought he flipped the match.
I loved it.
On his head. I mean, you have to wonder why he didn't start from the beginning. Clearly, just in terms of ability, one of the best at Roma.
Yes.
Stabilized the midfield, allowed Pastore the license to attack, opened up the attack, and I was thoroughly impressed with how he carried the ball forward and was able to actually create in the final third. I didn't think he had that in his game, but for me, he was the best on the pitch, man of the match for Roma.
Yeah, I'm very good. Yeah, because I think, Di Francesco basically came to the conclusion that perhaps he was still not ready physically, and maybe he had some doubts against Atalanta, who run three times more than your team, and that's exactly what happened. But Nzonzi came on and just, man, it was such a calming presence, and he actually runs with the ball forward. He can run for a guy that is so tall. And really, even Gasperini said in the post-game interview, I don't know if you read it, he said that the guy who created the most problems in the second half was Nzonzi. That he said my players were just completely crippled by him in the midfield, and you could see the Atalanta players just struggling to get the ball away from his feet. Loved it. I think he just came on, and it was what Roma needed. And I think that's what Roma needs in these sort of situations.
And then there's Kluivert, who, I mean, just in terms of being dynamic, I think he's the most dynamic attacker Roma have. He can create something out of nothing. I think he needs to play more. I think he has earned the right to be a starting player. He should have had at least an assist to his name when Dzeko was open and he decided to slow down and not play that ball. That was the one that should have been a goal. It wasn't.
Yes. And then he had a chance. And
yes.
That was also. But, I think he wasn't as good as in Torino, but he was just as unpredictable and as dynamic. And really, you could see him being like this threatening presence there on the wing. I was a bit skeptical if it was worth putting him on against Atalanta, because I was afraid that if he was going to have a bad performance, everybody would be like, that's what happens when you put a teenager on the starting 11, but he was great. And I liked him and his way of speaking on the pitch with Dzeko and Schick. I think the three of them really combine nicely into this front three, which then, obviously with EDF it turned into a front four or even five at a certain point. But yeah, I think it's a six. It's a six.
And then Di Francesco. Really, really poor from him. Approach was all wrong. The lineup, the players that he used was all wrong. For me, a four. And that's
being kind, yeah. That's
being kind, just because he got the first half so wrong.
Yeah.
But you have to hope that this is at least a lesson learned, wouldn't you think?
You know, that's, I just, definitely he has to understand that you have to play to the team's strength. And he did not do that today. He did not trust Kluivert. He did not trust Nzonzi from the start. And that was a big mistake. I really hope he gets it right next time. And I hope he changes the formation, because you could just see how the team was really nicely playing, and the whole action was flowing so smoothly when Nzonzi and De Rossi found themselves there in the middle of the pitch together as a two-man midfield with then Pastore up front. Completely different team. He has to understand that you put the team first. He always says put the team first. Well, when you do your formation, when you build your squad for the game, remember to, you know, to take the team first into account, because all these ideas, you know, of being so always so close to the 4-3-3, and you know, 4-3-3 being the basics for football, just no, throw it out the window. Think about the team, look at what works for them. Definitely, the 4-3-3 does not work if you want to play the guys you want to play. That's it. And it's a 4. I mean, a 4 is being generous, because we were playing against an Atlanta team that played, 3 days ago, and we played against their second squad. So at home, definitely no excuses. 3.5 for me. That's it.
Yeah, he got it all wrong today, and really just the final word I'll have on this match is if they play this way against Milan, I mean, they will undoubtedly lose without question. They cannot afford a similar performance.
I mean,
like
imagine Fazio. Yeah, imagine Fazio having this performance against Higuain. You will just not survive. And let's see also what happens with Florenzi, if he feels better, or maybe we're going to see Karsdorp starting. Who knows? But yeah, I mean, let's hope. Because today wasn't even a matter of players being not good enough. The players were simply not performing. They were just not into the game. They completely got outrun. And, you know, hopefully this was a really loud alarm for them, because Milan are going to be thirsty, and they're going to be at home. They're going to be trying to get the win. You know, it's funny, because you always have this thing that you know, you're at home, you have this sort of confidence, and Roma doesn't have that. You know, today we allowed 16 shots on goal in the first half. I read that's the highest number of shots on goal attempt.
I saw that from Opta.
Since 2005. You know, that's crazy. It just shows you how bad we were today. So I think we can only improve. Let this be a lesson. And I really hope Di Francesco understands what the main problem was.
Yes, let's hope so. Even if they play a quarter of the way they did in that first half, they'll ship at least 2 goals, and it will be nearly impossible to come back from an obviously much better Milan side. So that's all we have for today. Andy and I will certainly be back to preview the Milan-Roma match that, again, will undoubtedly be more difficult than this. Andy, a final word on this? Anything you got to get off your chest?
Forza Roma.
Okay, there we go. Forza Roma, and we will keep our fingers crossed for the next one. Hopefully they can manage the 3 points away from the Olimpico. So until next time, everybody. Ciao.
Ciao.